bless you this morning. I guess Nate mentioned to you about keeping Will in your prayers this week, and him out traveling for work. And also, remember Brother Phil this week. He has to go to Memphis and he'll be out of town. I was telling him, I just read an article here recent that they'd listed the top 86 most dangerous cities in the United States. And out of 86 of them they listed, number one was Memphis, Tennessee. And in this article, they actually started going through and listing all the different crimes, murders, and all kinds of different things that's been happening over there within recent times. And besides all of their political people going to jail and going to court and stuff, there's murders and rapes and kidnappings and shootings, and it's a really bad, terrible place. I mean, to hit number one of the top 86 most dangerous cities in the United States. So let's keep our brother in prayer while he's over there. Lord, watch over him, bring him back to us safe. Amen. I want to announce this next coming Sunday we'll have communion and foot washing. So y'all let you know about that. Amen. I guess I remember now Brother Paul telling me they were going to be out of town and that. So remember them in prayer. Praise the Lord. Let's just go to the Lord now. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be together here this morning, Lord. Lord, those that are out today, Father, out of town, Lord, for work or visiting and different things, Lord, keep them safe. Watch over them. I pray for Will, Lord, you watch over him this week, Lord, while he's in Georgia and Alabama working, Lord, that you'll keep him safe, Lord, and bring him back home. He's supposed to get home, Lord, next Sunday night. Lord, I pray for Brother Phil when he goes to Memphis. May you give him traveling mercies on the roads, Lord, and may you watch over him, Lord, Father, in that very dangerous city, dear God. Keep him safe, Lord, and bring him back home again safely, we pray. And Lord, we ask for your guidance now in this service, Lord. Anoint us, Lord, guide us, Lord, through, Lord, this thought you've placed in our heart, dear God, to be a help to us, Lord. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I'll be continuing on with this thought, maybe wrapping up this thought on being certain that we've been preaching on for several services now. I believe it's been about 10 services. So I trust that, you know, when the Lord, I got to tell you, as a pastor and a minister, when the Lord leads on a series, Brother Phil can tell you this, when the Lord begins to lead a minister on a series, and you know, you never know how long it's going to last. But the Holy Spirit just keeps going. What he's doing, he's building. He started, you know, the first message he lays on your heart is actually to come in and lay a foundation, then God just keeps building on that. But here's the point. God expects you, because he's building, he expects you to be taking that and growing from it. So, you know, don't forget each one before the next one comes. You know, by the time Monday comes, don't forget what was preached on Sunday. Because God, it ain't just in the series. It's everything God's brings to us, all the different sermons God brings. Lord, friends, he's getting us ready to leave out of here. But he tells us how to live in this life. He tells us how to deal with the things in this life. He tells us how we should be acting. He tells us how our behavior should be. You know, Brother Branham begins it when anytime he begins talking about you know, the adoption of the sons of God and these things. Brother Branham says that God put the Holy Ghost as a tutor over us. And he says, you know, he goes back just like the tutors, he said, that Jesus refers to in the scriptures, for the adoption of the son. He says that teacher that the father places over that son, they go back. He goes back and reports to the father. And Brother Branham said, it's a shame sometimes that the Holy Spirit has to go back and report things on us the way he does. And so let's take that into account, you know. And as the Lord ministers these things, let's grow from them. I'm just going to tell you, you know, I don't know how many of y'all remember. Years ago, I watched a little video that the kids had. It was of that Veggie Tales, which always has like a Christian based type a story to it, you know. And so they sung a song on there about forgiving. Something about to love is to forgive. And so I was so inspired by it, I brought that little kid's song in here and I sung that thing. That was years ago. And, you know, and the thing is, there's times that we, you know, we can learn sometimes from some of these little things, you know. And I know on Christmas, I've ministered on, you know, Christmas stories based them on the thought off a Christmas story that was very familiar to us and things like that, you know. But yesterday, we were sitting on the porch after we had been working and things. It was a little bit before going to eat supper, and my wife was sitting there with little Teddy, and he was watching this little thing on her phone, you know, and it had a song on it, and that song was singing "Let It Go," and I said, "Man, we need to sing that song at church, cause there's some stuff people need to let go, get free from, you know." And all these little petty feelings and stuff that, look, friends, I got to tell you something. I don't mean to belittle you or belittle what you're feeling. That's not what I mean. But if you listen to what I'm preaching today and then take into account some of these little things that Satan gets you all stirred up about, when you look at them with the big picture of things, they really don't have that much meaning. But we allow the devil to get us all stirred up. You know, yesterday we were clearing out an old path that I had cut years ago in the woods for them to ride their side-by-side and different things and walk and that. And so we were clearing this out of old dead trees and stuff that had fell across the path. I cleared it out like 20 years ago. And so we were back there cutting limbs and cutting up trees and dragging them out of the path and everything. And there was an old stump there. And it was a cedar. Now, y'all know cedars don't rot like other types of wood and stuff. But that thing had been there for years. That tree had fell. And I think Brother Wayne come over, and cut that thing out of the way for me, because it fell across the path I had going back to a shed that I had the dogs in. And I got cut real bad on that thing. But that stump was still there, and it was about this big around, and it was sideways like this, you know. But you know what? That thing was still stubbornly in that ground. You know why? Because of roots. And it took a while working and digging and prying and everything else to get that thing up out of there. You know, and you wouldn't believe it. Mina and Jessica were back there working on it, and they said they told David, "We want to mount this thing like you do your deers, because it looked like it had antlers on that thing from them roots from that thing." But you know, that's the whole thing with a lot of our things that we hang on to and cause us problems in our life is it's because it's deep rooted. That it's got rooted in there from generations before us, many times within our families and things, you know. I remember the one brother from up there in Bluffton one time come up to Ohio, and he was preaching, Wayne Lawson. He gave a little story said that when he was growing up as a boy, there was this one family that his family wouldn't have nothing to do with. And they just, boy, they just, you know, both families are just kind of hateful toward one another. And he said, growing up, it was that way. He said, and I still felt like that by him when I was a grown man. And he says, and I got to thinking, I don't even know what this thing was about. He said, it was between my grandpa and this other family's grandfather. He said, I don't even know what it was over. Have you ever studied on Hatfields and McCoys? Try to pin down exactly what that was that started that feud. Because they got about two or three different things, supposedly it was. You know. Let it go. Let it go. Man, get them old roots out of there. That's what the Holy Spirit's been trying to do. I was thinking, you know, when I was sitting back there, I was thinking about how many years my dad had pastored that church up there that's in Ohio now. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I have been here longer pastoring this church than my dad was pastoring that one on his own up there before he, you know, my brother actually took over the pastorship. I think he took over the pastorship, what was it, in 2001 or 2002, something like that. I can't remember exactly right now, but you know, and my dad had started in 82 pastoring that church, and I thought, oh my goodness, look how many years I've been here, and we still got some problems with roots. Look, I can only point them out. Y'all need to dig them out of your lives. Get rid of them things. All that family drama and stuff. Look, here's what you need to realize. I'm not attacking your family. I'm not saying my family's better than your family. This ain't about no stupid comparisons like that. That's really foolish to think that way. This is about we are the family of God. And the enemy is the devil. And it's the devil that tried to keep all that stuff stirred up so that you won't feel like coming to church, so that you'll sit here, brother, like Brother Donnie said, like a bump on a pickle, instead of taking the word of God and growing from it and moving from where you were 26 years ago. Get over it and go on. Look, we're not staying here anyway. We're going to heaven. Look, friends, we're looking for a rapture. We're looking for a millennium. We're looking to leave this city and this whole state and this whole country and everything behind anyway. It's like that old song says, if mama don't go, it won't hinder me. If daddy don't go, it won't hinder me. Brother, sister, cousin, aunt, whoever they are, son, daughter, it don't matter. If they don't go, it's not going to hinder me. I am fixing to leave here. And that's what my focus is on. Hallelujah. And that's what your focus needs to be upon. And if it is, you'll be able to identify these little inroads that Satan tries to bring in and upset you. Look, friends, if something's making you feel like you're so discouraged you can't come to church, that is the devil. That is not your brother. That is not your sister. It's not mama, daddy, son, daughter, cousin, aunt, uncle. No, that is the devil. Sometimes he works on our emotions and feelings. Look, friends, the devil knows you inside and out. Brother Branham says he studies you. Look, let's read and then I'll preach. Hallelujah. Romans 8:18. We'll just read this one verse and then I'll go through that chapter. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. You may be seated. The suffering. Look, I'm not saying we don't suffer. I'm not saying these things don't get us upset and tore up. But it does. We're human. We got these emotions to deal with. But the thing about it is, Brother Branham says, the devil studies you and he knows your weakness. And he ain't stupid. He ain't going to attack you where you're strong. Every enemy, when they come to try to invade or attack a nation or whoever, they will not attack them from their strong point. They try to find a weakness. Listen, when I was over there in the Persian Gulf during Desert Storm, I can tell you how the fortification, and some of these other brothers could tell you too, that might have been in during that time if they were over there, whatever, how the fortification was, see, of Kuwait. That's what that was all about. Saddam Hussein had come down there with his Republican Guard and had took over Kuwait. It was all about the oil. And so he thought, well, you know what? If anybody's coming against me, they're going to come against me from out of this gulf out here. So he had all this stuff on the beach out there. I don't know what all that different stuff's called, but if you ever seen any World War II movies and how they landed on the beaches over there, he had stuff like that out there, all this metal stuff going, this big old stuff and everything, and concertina wire and everything else to prevent a beach landing. So, Norman Schwarzkopf was the head of the forces over there. He was an army general, but he was actually the supreme command leader general over the whole thing. And so here was his plan. Poor Marines. They were down there practicing a beach landing a few miles down. And that Republican Guard kept watching them, and they expected him to come up there and do a beach landing up there in Kuwait. In the meantime, he said, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to swing up around way out this way in the desert, away from the Gulf, swing up actually through the desolate deserts of Iraq, and we're going to come in the back door. Why? Well, I can tell you, I was there. I saw it. It's because they weren't expecting an attack from there, so they weren't fortified from the back. They were fortified facing down toward Saudi Arabia there. They were fortified up here facing toward the water, you know, the Gulf. But they didn't fortify themselves between where they were in Kuwait and where Baghdad was in Iraq. So the whole forces swung up around this way and come in back like that. Anytime an army is going on attack, they're not going to come from your strong point. And that's the thing. The devil, Brother Ram says, is our enemy. Brother Ram says, listen, people think bad things, God, bad things, evil things come from God. He said, not our Heavenly Father. Only good comes from Him. Only good, He said, comes from our Heavenly Father. He said, now, our Heavenly Father will allow the devil to attack us sometimes, to bring us back. If we get out of the will of God and we're out of the way of God and we're not behaving right or whatever and that, and you are a child of God, then He says he'll permit the devil to come and bring, and Brother Bram says, it's chastening of the Lord. Yeah. And He'll actually bring correction to you. And Brother Bram said, look, if I was out of the way with God and not where I should be, and our Heavenly Father permitted the devil or whatever else or some situation to come to get me back on the right way, he said, I would be so appreciative. But he ends the sentence with this, wouldn't you? Now, remember last Sunday when we were preaching on this and we talked about Israel and how they were, you know, constantly whining, complaining, and they always, look, friends, they always had drama stirred up somewhere in that camp. Look, think about this now. When all the people come up before Moses to complain at the door of the tabernacle, you know, or when, even before that, when they all come up as one big unit of a nation to complain to Moses, how did that get started? There was an agent. Now, Brother Ram says, look, he says, an evil spirit is harmless unless it can find somebody to work through. But they had an agent, a drama queen, somebody who wanted to, they wanted to stir up trouble. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And there ain't a family of y'all sitting here that ain't got one of them in your family somewhere. Me included. Somewhere. There's somebody who likes to stir up trouble. And they'll go over here and buddy up with this side and talk with them and tell them this and this and this and this. Then they go back over here and buddy up with you or whoever else and tell them, well, you know what they're saying over there? And they go to this side to talk about that side, and they go to that side to talk about this side. Yeah, in our families, relatives. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. What we need to identify, that stuff. Realize, are they trying to stir up trouble? It ain't them. It's the evil spirit that they're being influenced by. I'm not saying they're lost. They just need to be delivered and get saved. Dathan and Korah. Friends, listen. They went out, I'm telling you, they went out amongst all of those Israelites and began to talk and spread and talk and talk. Till they got everybody stirred up and they said, boys, what we need to do is go up there and talk to Moses and face him down over this thing. But they had to get everybody stirred up first. That's how the devil does with us. Friends, listen. What the devil tried to do in the garden is he attacked the family unit. And he tried to bring a division in the family unit and get trouble stirred up. And bring a breakdown in the family. And Brother Branham says that's how Satan starts. He starts in the families. He says, but his goal is to bring a division and break in the church. Now, I got news for you this morning. This is how I believe. I believe we need to forget about being Brownings and Berry Hills and Horners and Roberts and Bontragers and Jacksons and Tara knows. We need to forget about those families. We need to realize, friends, that we are part of the family of God. Every last one of us in here, we actually got the same last name. It is Mrs. Jesus Christ. God didn't call me to be a Browning. He didn't call you to be whatever your last name is. He called you to be a son and daughter of Jesus Christ, of God, of the Heavenly Father. And we need to get that foremost in our minds. It ain't me against you, you against me, or you against this brother or that sister or this one in the church. No! It's us against the devil. And sometimes the devil wears our last names. Are you following me? It's time to tear out these roots and break down these walls. Listen, friends, the devil becomes powerless if you expose him. And I got to tell you something, friends. Y'all know, every one of y'all know, many of y'all that's been here for years with this church before I ever came here, the devil has been out to destroy you in this place and any resemblance of a church here since it got started. But I'm determined. And you need to be determined with me. We're leaving out of here in the rapture. God's got a people here. I don't care what nobody else thinks about us. Look, friends, there are people around this place that don't like me that ain't never even met me. Why is that? It's because of what I represent. It ain't me. Just like God told Samuel, it ain't you, Samuel, it's me. They ain't rejecting you, Samuel, God said. They're rejecting me. I'm their king. I'm their head. I'm their pastor. I'm their shepherd. And they're rejecting me. And I'll just tell you like Brother Branham said it. Jezebel couldn't stand Elijah. He said, and she wouldn't own up or claim him or nothing. He said, but it didn't matter. In God's eyes, Elijah was her pastor, even though she wouldn't ever darken the door of his church. Now, if God would raise up another church out around here, a message church of God called man, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, ordained of God, minister and whatever, fine, but he hasn't. As of right now, there is only one here. And has only been one here for quite a number of years. I'm not saying that to lift myself up. I'm telling you, by the word of the Lord, God ain't playing games with all this foolishness. And in order for God to be just, then he must give opportunity. So in individuals that stand on the day of judgment, that are from around this town and this area, they're not going to be able to stand there before God and say, you didn't give us an opportunity. He'll show them this little church right here where the word of God was being preached. And the voice, not only my voice, not only me, I'm just one of the many waters. Brother Phil as well. The voice of the many waters that has preached here over these last 26 some years is going to be ringing out on that day of judgment. Look, friends, look, it ain't going to be Brother Donnie's voice that condemns the folks from this area. He's also one of the many waters. I'm not saying it won't, but I'm just saying, look, friends, I know some folks, they, it would just so upset them if they heard the things I had just said. It would tear them up. Well, they need to be. Thing about it is, folks around here get tear up over the craziest things anyway. I got news for you, friends. I don't care if people attended Brother Branham's services. I don't care how many of them that they did attend. I don't care how many books they've had on their shelves or who they were, who they said they were, their daddy was, their mama was, or whoever else. And I don't, look, I realize that our human affection we want to make sure our loved ones are saved and made it. And we want this reassurance of those that went by the way of the grave. But I can tell you this, I don't care who they are. If they died not lined up with the word that was preached by this end time prophet, I don't care what they professed and claimed. But if their lives didn't line up, I can guarantee you, they're not behind the curtain of time that he saw where the people said, my precious brother. I'm sorry. Hurt your feelings. But you know what? The truth will set you free. All this lies people believe, all that does is keep you all bound up and confused. You remember when I've been preaching the last couple Thursday nights, I read that quote Brother Branham said, there's going to be a lot of people that are disappointed at the day of judgment because they were expecting that they were okay. They believed they were okay. And he said, they're going to be disappointed because they're going to find out they weren't. And he says in that quote, he said, it's not the drunkard. He's not going to be disappointed. He said, the prostitute's not going to be disappointed. He said, it's the people who think they're right. Now you say, oh yeah, them Church of Christ down the road, boy, they think they're right. Friends, look, I can tell you who's going to be more disappointed than them. It's going to be these professed message believing people. It amazes me, those that claim, they'll say, oh, I believe the message, I believe the prophet, they live like the world, they live like the devil, they do all kinds of things of the world, they won't come to church. Some of them don't even listen to tapes, read books, or anything else. They ain't even in that crowd. But somehow they believe they're going to make it. Man, I've got all over Thursday service. They think they're certain. They are not certain. Here's the thing you can be certain of. What God says is true, and that's what he's going to judge everyone by, his word. Not someone's interpretation of this message. Hallelujah. So we go through sufferings in this life, but you know what? Sometimes the sufferings that we go through emotionally and everything else, we allow it. Sometimes we actually not only bring it on, sometimes we actually feed into it. We make it worse on ourselves. You know why? Because the devil will come with a thought and we'll sit there and friend, we'll start serving tea to the thought. Y'all want to have a cup of coffee, you evil thoughts? Sit down and have a cup of coffee with me. Let's talk a while. Think on this. And then we get so tore up. And the devil wants to get you so tore up, friends, that you even have a hard time coming here. You know why? Because the word of God's preached here, and the word of God's going to set you free. The word of God's going to get you ready to get out of here. We need to get our feelings off our sleeves. When the devil gets us to thinking that we are in this church one another's enemies, then he's won. We need to identify where the enemy's coming from. It's not your brother and sister here in this church. It's those who have not given their lives to the Lord, surrendered. Friends, look, there's two spirits of influence. If they aren't surrendered to God, then I can tell you the spirit that's influencing them and directing them and driving them is not the Spirit of God. So anything they got to say and do, most of the time, it is not for your good. You need to recognize the voice behind the voice. I remember years ago hearing Brother Donnie preach a message on that, and he was talking about the serpent coming to Eve. And he said, Eve was listening to the voice of the serpent. He said, but there was a voice behind the voice. It was the voice of the devil behind the voice of the serpent. And that old serpent, because the devil come down and got in him and used him as a vessel, it was to tear up the family of God that God had created there. And friends, look, I guess you couldn't say at that time it was one of the oldest things in the book, but it has become one of the oldest things in the book now. The devil said, let's try putting some infidelity in here. Her not be true to her husband. This will break up this marriage. I'm going to stop God from having any more of these kids. Because I'll break this marriage up. And there's been marriages down through history that's been one of the biggest key things that's broke them up. And it all started with Satan saying, how can I tear up this family? So Brother Branham says, he starts in your home, in our homes, with our family units. Now, I'm not talking about just the ones that reside under your roof. You know what I'm talking about. Down here in the South, we are all into family. And he starts within the family unit, Brother Branham said, but his goal is to cause problems in the family of God, in the church. Now, these loved ones of yours, if they're under influence of the devil, friends, and then they see us all fussing and feuding within ourselves, why in the world would they want to be part of that? They ain't seeing nothing no different than they've saw over the years of everybody else in their presence that's ever professed to believe this message. Same old stuff. I was visiting one time. I used to go visit all the time. And I was sitting there with some relatives. And that particular trip seemed like all they wanted to talk about was some kind of drama that was going on in their particular part of the family and that. And I'd went to church with them on Sunday and preached, and we come home, we're sitting out on the back porch, and I was going to go to bed that night, and like I usually like to do, I get up about midnight and that, and take off and leave in the middle of the night and drive in the night to avoid all the truckers and traffic and everything else, and that's what my plan was. But I was just going to relax there with them that the rest of that evening. But man, this just kept on. Finally, I just got up. I didn't say anything. I walked off the porch, went in the house, went to my room, packed up my stuff, carried it out, put it in the car, packed it all up, come back in and said, look, y'all, I'm just going to go ahead and go, all right? I said, I'm just going to go ahead and go. I said, well, you don't have to go. Usually, don't you want to get some sleep? I said, no. I'm going to go ahead and go. I'm going to leave now. And so I just got in my car and left. Now, I went back and visited him again times after that and everything, you know, but I had just had enough of that stuff. Drama. Working on everybody, emotions and feelings. Y'all know what I'm talking about drama. Blowing things up. Causing some kind of a stir, trying to get this one to say something about that one and this one and all that, whatever. I said, I'm just going to go. And you say, what's your point in telling us this story? Sometimes, whether they're at your house, you're at their house, or wherever it is, sometimes you just need to go. Say, well, they're at my house. I don't want to be rude. You know, I got news for you. A lot of the folks that talk about not being rude, some of them actually do some very rude things. But they will actually make themselves suffer over certain etiquettes that they have got fixed in their mind on what you ain't supposed to do to be rude. But I can tell you this, friends, if somebody's coming to your house and they're stirring up trouble and drama and you can identify that Satan's working through them, who is the one that's rude? Who's being ugly, as the expression goes? There was some brothers one time that was over to this couple's house, and they just kept on. They wouldn't leave, and that, you know. And finally, the wife gets up, and so she goes into the kitchen, and she has some cookies, and she got up and she asked them, "Hey, y'all would like some cookies?" And they said, "Yeah, sure." So she went and got some cookies, put them in baggies, brought them back out and said, "Would y'all like some milk to go with these?" Sometimes you just need to come up with polite ways to ask people to leave. It's time to go. I got to go to bed, like my grandfather used to do. He'd get the clock, his little old wind-up alarm clock with the bells on top, and go to winding that thing. Got to get up in the morning. Some way to get the devil to go ahead and exit. It's not your relative, but if they're allowing the devil, all it is to upset you. I know. Some of y'all look at me like, "Lord, all these years I've been following this message, I ain't never heard enough such." That's probably the problem. That's why we still got all this stuff. We need to dig these roots out. How do you get free? These present sufferings. Yeah, sometimes they're sufferings. But sometimes we suffer. And the fault is us. Because we won't identify the devil and we won't put the devil on the run. We get all tore up because we allow the devil to do it. Say what? How else can I take care of this? Change the subject. My father-in-law, anytime, you know, Mina tries to help him out. You know, anytime she's talking to him and he wants to, anyway, change the subject. Anyway, so maybe sometimes you need to, anyway, and change the subject. Don't sit there and keep taking all this stuff in. Because you know what it is? It's just stuff that's going to clog up those gates of your spirit that Brother Branham talks about. Get you all upset. Amen. He said the devil, he says there's a five gates of the spirit. And he says there are five inlets. And he says, and the devil wants to block them things up. So he gets you stirred up in your affections. He gets you stirred up in your emotions. Your imagination gets to running away with you. You get your feelings hurt. And then you dwell on it, how bad it's making you feel. And sometimes we show out, and then we feel real foolish about it. We feel real embarrassed about it, actually, if we think on it. sometimes, friends, folks will fly off the handle and say things. Sometimes that's an old habit that's been passed on from generation to generation. Well, if you say something hurt me, I'm just going to think of something to hurt you back. You know what that really is? What's that whole thing? Something about getting even. What is that saying, Brother Phil? I don't get mad, I get even. Boy, there's a lot of getting even, folks. They just strike out back. We need to actually monitor what we're saying. The Bible teaches us that. Do not let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Is that what the Bible says? Oh, yeah. Don't let any corrupt communication, words and things, proceed out of your mouth. Stop it. If you've said something to hurt the person back that just said something to hurt you, what have you accomplished? What really have you accomplished? Think about what you said. Saw one time an episode of Andy Griffin. He put his big old boot up on the desk in there in his office, and he said, "I don't know how that I get that big old thing right there in this thing right here." And we do that many times because we don't think about what we're going to say. Like I've often said, just because it comes through here doesn't mean it needs to come out through here. You might think, well, what I said was true. Like that old thing about the phone call from God Jerry Jordan did, you know. He said, "Lord, we don't talk about our neighbors at all." He said, "We don't gossip, Lord. No, we don't gossip. Why, the things we say is all true." What is the benefit? Did it benefit you? Did it benefit them? Has it helped them? Did it help you? Do you want to help them? Because if you don't, then you need to be up here. If we want to do somebody harm and don't want to help people and turn people around and turn people toward the Lord, then we all need to be at this altar. Get until we do. We are in a battle. That is one thing I'm certain. I am certain of that. We are in a battle. And friends, listen. The Bible here, Paul says, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And Brother Bram said, that means everything. Even, he said, the times when God allows the devil to come and attack you, it is for your good. You say, well, okay, now all this stuff you've been preaching about, Brother Jerry, about the devil using family members and different ones that come stir up drama and stir up trouble and all this, how in the world could that be for my good? Because then the Word of God can come and identify for you that this is something that's been going on forever. It's been a family tradition that needs to be stopped. Look, friends, you say, well, you know, Hatfields and McCoys, you preached on that bitterness and things. Boy, that was wonderful. Yeah, but I didn't mean you stop it with one family member. I meant stop it with all of them. Quit letting the devil get us stirred up against one another. And friends, look. Even these ones that aren't converted and have not surrendered their life to God, and we know that the devil is using them, they're not your enemy. It's the devil, the demonic forces that's influencing them. That's who your enemy is. So we ain't fighting against them either. We're fighting against the devil. And I can tell you this. Look, friends, it is not rude to actually tell somebody, especially in your own family, oh, I know it'll make them mad as fire. But to tell them, listen, right now you are letting the devil use you to try to stir me up. Because I'll tell you something, friends. When you expose that devil, he loses his power. When that devil gets exposed and you're letting him know, I know you're using this individual to try to get at me, then the devil ain't going to be able to use them so much. Maybe it'll help them where they can actually get free and get saved and converted. Look, our greatest thing of our life is our testimony. Oh, man. Now I got to see if I can find this. Oh, it looks like I didn't highlight it. I just got it saved in here. No, down here it is. Listen. Listen to this now. Listen, uniting time and science. This ain't even in my notes. This is in some file I put together and shoved to the side to have. Brother Branham, he was 54 years old when he said this. I got that note down. I figured it up. He was 54 years old when he said this in 1963, uniting time and science. He said, you know, I try not to say too much about it on, you know, around people complaining, because I think one of the horrible things is to see a man or woman that's constantly complaining. I always thought, God keep me from it. That weakens the faith all the time, you know. I know as they get older, each one of us, we're going to get something happen and something happen, and I know little things are going to keep accumulating. Oh, that's the problem. We let things accumulate when we should be letting it go. That, as you get older, you just got to. But I think one of the most horrible things is for Satan to crown some person's life a crabbed old man or crabbed old woman. He said, I hope I don't get to that place. I hope that I can bear it, my burdens. And get to the spot where I want my life crowned with the glory of God. His long suffering, gentleness, peace, meekness, and filled with the Holy Spirit. He says again here in the flashing red light of his coming, 1963. This was, the other one was August. This was in June. He said, give me grace to never complain. God grant that our life could be crowned, no matter what, if we suffer. No matter what, if we suffer, whatever it takes place, how many turns against me, I know this one thing in my life as I get older, my friends, the stream behind me will soon be running out, narrower and narrower as I go down the road. I know one thing, it'll come to pass after a while, that there'll be nobody come to me and say, ask me for advice. The ones who knew me in my younger days will be gone if I live long. My friends will get fewer and fewer as I get older now. And you know, someday I gotta die. I hope God never lets Satan crown me as a crabbed, old, indifferent man and my wife as an old nagging woman, or your wife or you that way. I pray, brother, that our lives will be crowned with the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, peace, patience, truth, faith in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I don't want to be crowned, Brother Ram said, a crabbed old man. He says, the further I go, smaller the string behind me is going to get. As you get older, you young ones, listen to me now. As you get older, folks you growed up with, even Christians, good God-called people, they're going to start going by the way of the grave. You're going to start losing friends that way. You're going to start losing associates. You say, look, friends, I've lost friends that I had, and maybe I've never seen them. I haven't seen them in years, but I still counted them as my friends. And I think if I'd have still come in contact with them back then, we'd have been fine. There was many that I was a teenager together with, and I think of, they're gone now. I remember I was a teenager in Lima, Ohio, and this brother whose wife had left him, he was raising his two children by himself, raised them by himself. His son was the same age as I was. And I was about 16 years old, I think, at the time in that. And they started coming. And his son, he was so backward in things, and he just, after church, he'd just go out and go straight to his daddy's car and get in the car and just sit in there. And I came out, I was always an outgoing person. I talked and talked to everybody. And so I was always hanging out with the young people. It didn't matter how old you was, I'd talk to you. There was some place, my wife, first time she ever saw me, she thought I was stuck up because I was sitting over a table talking to a real old man. Well, I knew him. he was about my daddy's age, maybe older than my daddy. I think he was older than my daddy. And I was sitting over there just having a big old conversation with him. Brother Ferguson up there in Lorain, Ohio. And I knew him. I never had a problem talking to anybody of any age. But here this young man that was my age, I just felt for him. So I started walking out to his car, and I'd tap on the window. Man, I don't know, maybe at first he was thinking, I wish he'd leave me alone. But I'd tap on his window, and he rolled his window down. Yeah, back then you rolled your window down. And so he rolled his window down, and I just started talking to him. And I just kept talking to him. Finally, he got to where he was getting out of the car, because every church service, I went over to his car, his daddy's car. So finally, he got to where he'd get out of the car and stand out there and talk to me. Finally, he got to where, he was waiting on me. If he got outside the church door before I did, he was out there waiting on me, and I'd talk with him and things, and then I got him talking to the other young people and that, and he ended up marrying one of the young ladies from that church, who was the pastor's daughter. And then, he was so backward and shy, wouldn't hardly talk to nobody, and God called him to preach. And the young lady he married, her and her family and that, they were actually originally from Canada, from Saskatchewan. And so they moved up there to Canada. And when they moved up to Canada, then he ended up taking his wife and moved off to another part of Canada and started pastoring a church. And pastored a church for years up there, And they had children, and I think they had three boys or something like that, so then he got a brain tumor a few years ago, back when I was still in my 50s. Me and him were still in our 50s. He got a brain tumor, so they had went for some different things and all that or whatever. And finally, he said, "It's in the hands of God. I ain't going no more." And then in a little while, he ended up passing. He was a dear friend of mine, same age as me. I've had several others. Listen to me, I've had several others I love that, and I know sometimes our lives, as God leads us, it takes us away from one another and things, and that, especially if God starts calling a bunch of you to be pastors, but that really hurt me when I heard he had passed. My brother actually texted me about it and said our precious brother Ken Boyer has passed away, and my first thought was, well, I can't remember, was his dad already passed away or not? I said, so I text back and I said, senior or junior, which one? son. Y'all sitting here, some of y'all older than I am, and you know people you've known, associates you've had, friends, dear friends. I ain't talking about these make-believe wannabe and put-on people. I'm talking about true friends that have passed away. You know, I think about all the ministers of God that have been friends of mine that are gone now. People that I had confidence in, that I'd grown up around, their ministry, that I could actually call them and talk to them. I could email them, you know, and I could go visit them and ask them advice and talk to them. And that Brother Dan Daisley, I went to him often. Gone. Brother Laram says that in here, and he says, I don't want to be crowned as a crabbed old man, complaining. Now what's, listen to what Brother Branham says. He doesn't just say crowned as a crabbed old man. He says, I don't want Satan to crown me as a crabbed old man. It's the devil. That's what I've been telling you since we opened this service. It's the devil that tries to get you upset. It is the devil, if you will allow him, that will make you crowned with what Brother Branham just described. Your testimony, friends, is the greatest thing you possess in this life. Your testimony is the most important thing in your life. In this world right now, in this lifetime, it's your testimony. How is our testimony? When people speak evil of us, is our testimony to do as Christ said? Pray for them. Be good to them that treat us evil. What is our testimony? What is our testimony to our families? Some of them that are ate up with some of these demonic spirits of keeping things stirred up. What is our testimony with them? We ain't no different than they are. Or is our testimony the sweetness, gentleness, and kindness of the Holy Spirit in our life? Look, Brother Branham talked about this false humility. Brother Branham said, he talked about people with false humility. He said, you rub them the wrong way, you'll find out they ain't so humble. He said, you take a cat. He said, as long as you're petting it the right way, you know, that thing will be purring. He said, but pet it up the other way, and that cat will get upset. That's the way it is with unconverted, devil-influenced people and relatives. As long as you're petting them the right way, everything's fine. But if your testimony is, look, friends, you say, you just said sweetness, kindness, humility, all these things. Yeah, well, one day, a sweet, kind, humble, loving man braided a whip and said, all right, you pack of thieves, I'm running you out of the house of the Lord. And sometimes Jesus comes down in our services, friends. Sometimes it seems so sweet, presence of God, and other times we can hear the crack of the whip. He ain't trying to run you out of here. He's trying to run the devil out of your life. Hallelujah. Yeah, Brother Branham said sometimes God will permit the devil to bring something on you to chastise you. But there's other times God does it from right here.
We need to look at our testimony. What is our testimony? What is the example that we're laying down to our relatives we'd like to see get saved?
It amazes me, something that I have seen in my years of pastoring. Families can have somebody that's living like the devil, and they will tell everybody else, now hold on how you treat them. That's your brother, that's your sister, that's your family. And brother, I'll tell you, you let the pastor bring some kind of correction against a member of their family, and all of a sudden, that's my family you're talking about. But the members of their family that's trying their best to serve God, it's like they want to kick them to the curb. What is the problem? That is, something's wrong with that. I know y'all thinking, man, what in the world is he doing? Is he taking up for somebody? What is he doing? I'm going to tell you something, friends. This is the top of page one. I haven't even scrolled. This ain't me. This ain't my opinion. This is the Holy Spirit trying to get our attention. We need to line up. Look, like I've told you so many times, don't get it in your head that I'm trying to make everybody brownies. I ain't. What we all need to be is children of God. When the Holy Spirit goes and reports on me to the Heavenly Father, he's not saying, man, he's being a real stinker in the Browning family. Man, he's not being a good Browning. No, it's about how am I being as a son of God. Because that's what this is really all about. Those last names, it's actually just to identify you, give you an identity here in this life. It really don't have a thing to do with your eternal identity. Hallelujah. That's the truth. It don't got nothing to do with your eternal identity. We come from God. We go back to God. And there are some that are children of perdition. And some of them, they carry the same last name that I got. But they come from perdition and they're going back to perdition. You know, I think of the precious different brothers in the time after the death of Jesus Christ, whose name happened to be Judas. Good, precious brothers. Read about him in the Bible. Yes, exactly. And the disciples, the ones that God was moving on the right, they always wanted to identify these different brother Judases. And they would identify him as not brother Judas so-and-so last name, such and such. It was Judas, not Iscariot. Judas, not Iscariot. What's your name? Brother, not Iscariot. You imagine them going up and meeting, what's your name? Judas, not Iscariot. Not Iscariot. You know, the Bible don't cover nothing about Judas Iscariot's family. You know. But can you imagine? Because everybody had family. I'd want to change my last name. If my last name was John Iscariot, I'd want to change it.
because I would not want to be associated with that. You know what we don't realize sometimes? We don't realize. You know how they say little pitchers have big ears? You're talking about little children? Y'all don't realize how much little children, how much they observe sometimes. Yeah, look, friends, I'm not talking about adults going around telling them, like, look, you need to think this way or don't think this way and this one over here and that one over there. No, they got little ears, big ears. They listen, they observe, and sometimes they got thoughts that they have come up with on their own from opinions they have formed from what they have witnessed. That's right. My grandfather Brown, my mom's dad. Friends, I'll tell you what, my aunt and everyone, they told me there was a time before he gave his life to the Lord. You know, he was lived as a sinner and things like that. But never in my lifetime. He always served God in my lifetime. I never knew him other than that. And I grew up, and you might not have thought I really had a good, close relationship with him. Not like I did my grandfather Browning. You know, that was a little different. My grandfather Browning spoiled me. I was the first grandchild and the only Browning grandson until my brother was born in 75. My grandfather had died in 74. So, he always treated me with respect. But my grandfather Brown, you know, I had lots of good memories of him, but you know what? When I got to looking back over it, I actually ended up patterning my life more after him, my opinion of him. I loved the way the kind of family man he was, and how he had his family, and how he served the Lord, and how he was always willing to talk about the Lord. But also, he was an individual that wasn't pious. He could cut up and joke around. He liked to have fun, joke around with the kids and things like that. And his kids, who were all adults, he joked around with them and things, you know. But he had a serious side, too. But he created such an atmosphere, friends, that it made, of course, everybody's got one somewhere in the family, I always say, you know, that's the oddball. But the majority of the family who wasn't the oddball, they all wanted to come home and see him. They wanted to come there for family holiday dinners and stuff like that. He just had such an atmosphere that he created around him. People wanted to come there. And growing up, that just stayed in my mind. It was in my subconscious for a long time before it became conscious to me until I actually got married and got to thinking about having children and a family and everything, and I thought, I want what he had. Now, my point in saying all that is, I was a child when I observed all that. And evidently, I started forming an opinion about it before I even knew I had an opinion. So what light and example are we leaving to our next generations? Because if time tarries on, friends, these children around here, they are the next church here. If the Lord tarries, they're the future. And I'll tell you something. You know, the Jews in Jesus' day, they said, well, you know, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. And Jesus says, and they're everyone dead. Brother Brown said what Jesus meant by that was they were all eternally separated from God. And then he goes over and points out what it says about them in the book of Jude. God told that generation, they came down to Kadesh Barnea, which Brother Bram said was the judgment seat. Can we take the land or not? And God judged them right there based on, they had, look at all their unbelief they had all those years through the wilderness, but God still gave them opportunity.
Will you have faith now? God's given this opportunity. Are we going to turn this around now, or are we going to keep on the same way? Because if we keep on the same way, the problem is, friends, we're just going to keep circling around Kadesh Barnea and die in this wilderness.
But if we'll break free of that stuff and take the land that God has promised us, this land of peace and joy, this land of we're going in a rapture, this land of that we are the family of God.
Brother Adam said those people that's going to be disappointed at the judgment, he says their kids are going to be disappointed at the judgment because of what the parents passed on to the kids and taught them, and if the kids followed that and believed it.
And he said, those children will stand up in that day and tell God, we got a right to be here.
And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. What's our testimony? We need to live for God. Look, all things work out together for the good of them that love the Lord. To them that are called. But notice this, them that love the Lord. And friends, if we love the Lord more than we love anyone else, then I can tell you we'll line up and we will live right. We'll line up with what the Holy Spirit's bringing and with His word. We'll stop all this foolishness and we will live right. We will be shining examples. Jesus said, you are a light to this age. You are a city that is set up on a hill to be an example, to shine out the life and light of Jesus Christ. Let us let others see the life of Christ living through us. Let's expose the devil, let's rebuke the devil, and let's live our lives for God. Don't let the devil work in our lives. Don't let the devil work in our families. Don't let the devil work in our church. Hallelujah. 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 Look, don't be looking for how do I get justice for how I'm feeling. You need to forget what you're feeling because it ain't based on your feeling. What do you believe? Do you believe what's been preached today is the truth? Then let's believe it. And if we believe it, we'll become one with it. We will be set free. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look, friends, this life is just like I said last Sunday. All the stuff in this life is just a blip on the radar screen of your life. And then it's gone. You ever seen them watching something on them old sonar screens or whatever in them submarines from World War II? And they'd say, blip, 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 blip. Where'd it go? That's what I'm talking about. That's all this stuff that you think is so upsetting and suffering in this life. It passes so quickly. But we're going to a place, friends, that won't pass ever. Hallelujah. Won't that be a time, Brother Jewel Forney likes to sing? Hallelujah. When I looked at my feet, and they was changed too. Hallelujah. And he says, and I looked at my hands, and they was changed too. Hey, won't that be a time? Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, if we can just submit ourselves to your word, submit ourselves to your plans in our life. Lord, Lord, if we're certain of you, if we allow our faith to be based in you, dear God, then, Lord, no matter what comes our way, no matter what troubles, trials, sufferings, situations, no matter what, Lord, we'll be able to stand firm because we got faith, and our faith rests in you. Hallelujah. Lord, bless your people this morning, I pray. Lord, go with us this day. May we take this that's been preached today, Lord. May we take it dear to our heart. Lord, may we not walk out of here, dear God, with an attitude about it, Lord, or pouting, Lord, or feeling like, don't let the devil try to implant even thoughts to us in our minds about the things, what's been said or why it's been said. It's been said, Lord, because you wanted it said. It was not because I was influenced by anything, Lord, other than the anointing that you anointed my lips with this morning. Hallelujah. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It'll make us free. Hallelujah. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, let's be free of these things. Lord, let's lay aside every weight that does so easily beset us and run this race with patience. Every weight of sin, it's actually sin when we allow the devil to bring these things and we listen to it and get ourselves all torn up about it. Lord, it's because of unbelief. Weights of unbelief. Let's lay aside these weights this morning and run this race that's set before us. Pressing toward the prize and mark of the high calling in the Lord. Bless your people. Go with them today, dear God. Go with them this week. Watch over Will this while he's out of town working. Watch over Brother Phil, Lord, while he's down in that evil place having to work this week, Lord. Watch over your people wherever they are this week and whatever, Father, they may have to do in this during this week, Lord, their jobs, their life, whatever it is. Lord, bring us back here at the appointed time. Lord, if your time tarries, Lord, we're not all going to remain. Some of us, Lord, if time tarries, clock's ticking. We're going to go by the way of the grave. Now, while it is yet day, let us let our testimony be the life of Christ shining through us always, God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hold your family members up in prayer, your kids and your different relatives and people that you saved and spouses and different things. Hold them up in prayer. Hold them before God. Trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, friends. Brother Branham tells a story about a man who was a believer and he was serving God. And he wanted his wife to be a believer. And so he was trying to force her into it. And Brother Branham said, "You're going about it all the wrong way." He said, "You need to treat her with love. You need to treat her with kindness." Now, he wasn't talking about smoothing over sin. He wasn't talking about making a loophole for her to make it in some other way. But what Brother Branham was identifying was that this man of God, whose wife needed to be converted, he was allowing the devil to trick him in his mind
and work actually through him, and him thinking, I want to get her saved, but he was actually allowing the devil to work up in his home and bring a disturbance in there, and it actually was a hindrance toward bringing his wife to the Lord. Brother Ram said, you need to act different. It's our testimony. Hallelujah. Let's let the love of God shine through us. Amen.